With Israeli tanks now massed near the Gaza Strip and the siege of the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem now over, we thought we'd take a few moments to take stock of where things stand in the Middle East. To help us with that, we're joined by Shibli Telhami, a Middle East expert at the University of Maryland. Welcome, Professor Telhami.
My pleasure.
Let's start with what looks like imminent Israeli action in Gaza. Even if the Israelis go in, there will surely be more suicide bombings in response to an attack there. Is there any way a peace process can move forward as long as this tit-for-tat violence continues?
Unfortunately, violence will continue. We've seen this cycle over and over again. It's hard to stop. The urge for revenge is too strong. And clearly, the Palestinian Authority's ability to control it completely has been diminished significantly. And therefore, you cannot make a political process a hostage to that. I mean, you should always work to minimize the violence regardless. But at the same time, you can't not proceed forward. And there is an axiom about Middle East politics, which is if you don't move forward, you move backward. So can we move forward? I think the real issue now is really to put forth a political vision that would rally the international community and hopefully most Arabs and Israelis behind it.
Has the U.S. been clear enough about what it wants?
Certainly not, and for good reason, to be fair. It is very difficult to know what to do in this difficult environment, but I think the real issue is the following. No matter what policy the United States chooses, that policy is not going to work unless it becomes a top priority for the administration, unless the administration makes the case to the American public and to the international community that Arab-Israeli peacemaking is a vital American interest. Unless it becomes a priority, there is no way you're going to avoid being preempted by those who care deeply about this issue in the region, whether it's Mr. Arafat or Mr. Sharon. So a first step before anything else, a decision has to be made if this is really a vital American interest that is central to the war on terrorism. The public thinks so, by the way, according to public opinion polls, but clearly the administration has not made that decision.
So you get the American public's attention and support. And then what does the White House do? What would be your next move if you were sitting in the White House today?
I start with the assumption that incremental diplomacy is now impossible. The mistrust is too high. Arafat and Sharon are not going to be able to negotiate an agreement. And clearly, people on the ground don't trust processes for their own sake. They've heard promises before. They want to see change. So therefore, you have to put forth a real vision that resonates where people know where they're headed. And I think that means now putting together a proposal about the framework of a final settlement.
And what is that rough framework?
It is clear that there have to be a Palestinian state, a viable and contiguous Palestinian state, side by side with Israel. There are two elements to it that are unavoidable. One, that that solution is a national solution, which means the state of Palestine represents Palestinian nationalism. The state of Israel represents Jewish nationalism. As a consequence, it means, number one, that the Palestinian return issue is going to have to be addressed in a way that maintains Israel as a Jewish state. At the same time, settlements are going to have to be dismantled in order to allow for a contiguous and viable Palestinian state. Those are the two of the central components of it. The boundaries have to be based on 1967 with modifications that will accommodate security interests as negotiated by the parties.
Certainly the question has been raised whether we can get to any kind of peace or peace process with the two leaders there, Mr. Arafat and Mr. Sharon. I'm wondering, is there any way that the U.S. government can redefine this conflict and move away from those two personalities in a way that would be helpful?
Number one, the interests of the United States and the international community are too vital to allow those two to basically undermine them. So therefore, you can't just sit there because there's too much at stake. Second, there are ways of getting around it. One way to do it is clearly to get the international community behind the proposal. For the first time, we have Arab governments, largely because they're terrified by the prospect of escalation, really want a peace agreement because it's in their interest. Certainly the Europeans and other members of the international community want to work on it. It changes the dynamics in the sense that you can have a conference and you can have ideas that reduces the direct role of Sharon personally and Arafat personally, and puts pressure on them through the international pressure that would change the domestic dynamics. both of them are sensitive to domestic dynamics. The situation is fluid and dynamic. We have to understand that it's not just sort of constant. They oppose this, therefore they'll never agree. Things can change. There's no guarantee, but you open up possibilities.
Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Shibley Talhami is a Middle East expert at the University of Maryland.